there's been, you know, talk between your interaction and your ending on the show with 065.
He was like so much worse, like in person, like the gaslighting, the way he treated me, the way he spoke to me, like it was like bullying. I've received a lot of hate, racially charged. People's lips were literally falling apart. There are some people who physically were unable to make it through. Contestants had seizures. It was really sad.
Anyone hook up?
Depends on what you call hook up, I guess.
Let's get into it.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to Let's Get Into It podcast, hosted by me, Sloan. Today, we have a Squid Games contestant on with us, player 399, also known as Aurora. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to have you on, especially because, like many other people, I was watching the show, but I had a moment where I realized, like, wait, I know who that is because Aurora is from, like, my hometown. We went to the same high school. You did swim team as well, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so, like, swim our blasters.
Yeah, I saw you all around. So to see you on the screen, like, just randomly while I'm watching the show, and you did pretty well. That's impressive.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it means a lot that, like, people back home would recognize me because I was so nervous doing this so far away from home. Uh-huh. And then it's super exciting experience. So thanks so much, dude.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been like 10 years since we've graduated. So like when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, of course I've kept up with you, but I did not see this coming. So give us a little bit of background on like who you are and how did you end up on the show?
Yeah. So I obviously were, you know, you and I are from the same hometown. So we're both American, but I now live in the UK, live in London. So I work in tech. I'm a management consultant and I moved to the London office of my firm back in May of last year. And when I moved, I started to kind of like blog my experiences and just like share with the world, like what it's like to be a consultant, what it's like to be a Black girl in tech and like what it's like to be an American in London. And so I started my TikTok and that like did quite well. So I've been able to kind of have that as like my side hustle since I've moved. And maybe 3 or 4 months into creating TikToks, one of the representatives from the show found it and reached out to me. They DM'd me on Instagram and kind of invited me to participate in the show. I had to go through multiple rounds of interviews. And then I got the confirmation that I had been selected, and then filming started in January of this
January. Okay. And yes, Aurora is very active on social media. So her TikTok page, her Instagram, everything will be listed below. So definitely go and check her out. So when you were approached for the show, I mean, where were they filming this? And do you have any idea on how they decided to select people? Because obviously there's a big range. So I'm assuming not every single person came from TikTok, but do you have any idea of how they selected people?
Yeah. So my understanding is like, they wanted to have like a really good, like, mix of personalities. Like the conversations that they had, they asked me during my interviews were really interesting. Like, how do I handle conflict? Like, what's a big pet peeve of mine? Like, they gave me a lot of like scenario questions. And I remember leaving my, interviews with Netflix thinking to myself, like, I'm giving such like textbook Gryffindor energy, like textbook Gryffindor vibe. Every answer was like, I'm going to stand up for someone who's being let down, or I'm going to stand my ground, or I would never let someone, da, da, da. Like, it was so cringe, like thinking back to like what my answers were. But I think that they just wanted to have a great mix of people who were there for themselves and willing to do anything. Like, it's so much money, like $4.56 million. Like, that's not only life-changing for you, but life-changing for you and like anyone who's like in your circle. Like, it's multiple generational, like, people, it's just like such a crazy amount of money. So how far are people willing to go? Like, what types of sacrifices are people willing to make? And I think that they did a really good job of like creating this like robust cast of like different levels of basically risk and different levels of like integrity, different levels of like basically how far people would go to make this happen. So I think though that was kind of what was in the back of their mind. Obviously, I really have no idea why they picked me, to be quite honest. I don't even know why they picked me from TikTok. It's just, again, this like random thing. I just think I just popped up on one of the casting director's pages and they're like, oh yeah, maybe. And I just happened to respond to the DM.
So when you were in that interview process, did you first know that it was going to be like a Netflix situation? And did you also know, like, by interview one, did you know the prize money was going to be that large? Like, were they very upfront with all that information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they told me what it was. They told me it was Squid Game the challenge. They told me it was for the $4.56 million. And so I knew what the production company was, which is Studio Lambert. That's who like reached out to me technically. And then they sent over the audition tapes or like, you know, my interviews with production over to Netflix, and then Netflix selected the people that they wanted. So it was a kind of like they worked to it together. But from the beginning, I knew it was a Netflix thing. I knew Studio Lambert, and I knew the prize money. They were very clear about that from the beginning, and that we were not going to be paid.
Yeah. So then you were, so you're based currently in the UK. Was it filmed in the UK?
It was filmed in the UK. It was really filmed like 15 minutes from my house, which is so crazy because it's like, wow, I could have just walked out at any moment and just gone home to my comfortable bed. But yeah, so it was filmed in London, and they flew people from all over the world, from Asia, from obviously there are a lot of Americans from the Middle East, like all over Central and South America as well. So it was a really, really like international, people from Australia, New Zealand, like diverse cast for sure. Japan, it was a lot of people came.
So I'm sure because people were all flown in, like they had different experiences as far as like staying in hotels prior. Like, did you lived so close. So what did like the first day of shooting kind of look like? Did you just like Uber over there and you were there just like at your call time?
Yeah. So basically we all had to check into the same hotel and we had to quarantine there for three days per person. So we had to have our masks and like take COVID tests and we cannot leave our room. And then we turned in all of our technology and then we went in to begin the game. So we were in the hotel for like almost a week before we started filming. It was like 3 or 4 days. And even the people who made it past red light, green light had to go back to the hotel before we actually went into the dorms. So it was a lot of time at the hotel. And everyone flew in to that same location before we started filming.
So it wasn't like, it's obviously the timeline isn't how it presented in the show as far as like the red light, green light. And then we all just go into the dorm after. There was like a hotel kind of situation in between.
Yeah. So the people who unfortunately were eliminated went immediately. And then they kept a lot of us, like the people who passed red light, green light. And we all took a bus back to the hotel. And then we had to wait, sleep there. We still didn't have any phones, any technology. We were fully already in the Squid Game universe. And then someone would knock on your door at like 6, 7 a.m. It was crazy. And then we had to get up, put on our outfit or whatever, and then go to another bus. And then that bus took us to the filming location, which was not too far from where I live.
So I want to talk about red light, green light, but as far as the outfits, just random question, like, did they give you multiple of like your number?
No. So we had like our green sweat, like, you know, sweatsuits. And then we had our t-shirts with our jackets, with our numbers on it. And then we had thermals. But We only had one set, but we had like multiple sets of thermals, multiple sets of underwear, multiple sets of like, you know, whatever you needed to go under, you know. But we only got one t-shirt and one sweatpants shirt.
Mm-hmm. So since the show, there's been, you know, talk between your interaction and your ending on the show with 065. And I want to get into that. But before we do, I mean, I've seen all these people talk on social media about their experience in the challenge. And I think watching as a viewer, you know, seeing all these people get eliminated that first game, it's like, wait, why? I mean, they just couldn't stand still there. But they really had you filming that entire game for hours long. Can you kind of explain, like, so were you just holding a position for, I mean, 30 minutes at a time?
Yeah. So basically, we were holding our positions for 15 to 20 to 25 minutes at a time. It was freezing. So it was like maybe 20 to 25 degrees Fahrenheit, like 0 degrees Celsius. And then also like while you're holding your position, there's cameras coming around, people like getting shot, pow, 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 like all around you. You have to stay completely still the entire time. So like all of those factors like led to why it took so long. So in the end, red light, green light did not last 5 minutes. It lasted about between seven to eight hours, depending on when you were able to finish. And like your whole body was like so exhausted. Like in order to make it past red light, green light, actually I think it was more of a mental challenge than a physical one, because you had to basically dissociate from your body in order to make it through. Like everyone has a story, a mechanism, a place that they had to go to in order to make it past red light, green light. It was like, yeah, the most physically demanding thing I've ever done in my life.
And do you think, so was it made to be that cold to make it even more uncomfortable? Is that part of the strategy?
Oh, 100%. It was an empty airplane hangar. So they went there for a reason. They wanted us to be cold and uncomfortable. I mean, they cut over half the people.
Yeah. And while you were on this show, did you ever see, I mean, obviously you would interact with staff and production. How was your relationship with them?
They were around. Like they were always checking in on us, like trying to see how we were feeling. Whatever gossip was going on in the dorm, you know, they were like always just like, you know, around. So yeah, they had a very, very, present presence in the dorm, to say the least.
Yeah. Did they seem accommodating? Like, were there some other contestants who were like much needier and like constantly asking for things? And
Yeah. Everybody has like, you know, dietary requirements or like medications that they need, or, you know, like whatever, or maybe they, you know, religious practice. So they had to go and pray, you know, during certain times of the day. So everybody had different like accommodations that they needed. And they were pretty accommodating, to be quite fair, except they didn't give us like outside time until much later. And they didn't give we were definitely at like a vitamin deficit. Like they gave us like bars and like they gave us so many things towards the end, I think. Like we got like chapstick as well towards the end. But like so many people had already been eliminated at that point. Like it's just like, we should have gotten from the beginning. But I would say overall they were accommodating once they realized that it was getting to a certain, like a dire point that people needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially seeing that one contestant like steal the extra food. I mean, it made me question, like, I am such a foodie. Like I need to eat. Like, did you feel like you were given the proper, like, did they properly feed you and like hydrate you?
Properly fed. I mean, like, I think that what we found out later was like, we were eating like around a thousand calories a day. And I feel like that's like what you eat in a meal, a good, like, I mean, an American meal.
Yeah,
you know, like a proper meal. But like, I didn't even eat that much because I was so grossed out by the breakfast, like that porridge. And to this day, it makes me like want to vomit. So like, I don't know if you've ever, did you see The Matrix, Sloan?
You know
when Neo like goes into the real world for the first time, he like pulls open that like slop that like they, what is this? He's like, welcome to the real world. Yeah. That's what it was like. It was just like, it was just, I just thinking about it, I haven't been able to, it's like, they call it porridge. I just think of it as slop. It was like this like bland oatmeal that just tasted like mucus. It was horrid. Like, so I didn't eat that. So for me, I was actually getting closer to like probably 700 calories a day. And I was in there for 12 days. So I do not fault Lorenzo at all about like getting the food. I also don't think that he took it from anyone. Like I think that like obviously they're trying to make this like as dramatic as possible.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anyone not being fed. Mm-hmm. So maybe they had extra, you know what I mean? Like obviously I never asked for extra food because that food was, I didn't really want to eat it.
Yeah. You're like, I don't need any more of this.
Yeah. It was just like an extended fast basically.
Yeah. So this set is obviously very like just appealing and it looks so much like the show. Did it, when you were in person, did it feel that same way? Or like, was it, I mean, very obviously a set, like looking up, you would see like all the build, like the structure they built.
It did not even feel like this. I felt like we were in another world. Like, that's why I think like it was so immersive that that added to our experience, like the set, like being in there. Like, it did not feel like we were just like playing around, you know, in this like fake place. Like, it felt like we were going into another universe. And I think that like added to like the psychological piece of it all, because we were basically in, like Squid Game universe. We were no longer on Earth. We were in a completely different place. Like, when someone got eliminated, it felt like they were dying. Like, or to like eliminate your friend, you felt like you were killing your friend. Like, it was just like the psychological element to it all. And the set definitely, I think, elevated that for sure, because it was so realistic.
Yeah. I mean, the living quarters looked very bizarre. I mean, especially in the beginning with all those people. How was it like sleeping there and sleeping around all of those people? Like, was it easy? I mean, it doesn't look easy. I feel like there'd be someone snoring, just too many people. Oh, yeah.
There were snoring. There was passing gas. There were people screaming at each other from across the room. Like, it was an experience. Like, it was like I've never been to jail, but I presume what like jail would be like if all the inmates were in one big room instead of like separate cells. Mm-hmm. It was like a slumber party with everyone, you know.
Yeah, and you don't know.
Then you don't know. Yeah, there was a lot going on in there. So, yeah, it was really hard to sleep sometimes, to say the least. But, like, I think at a certain point, everybody needed sleep. Like, the first two nights were kind of weird. But, like, as it dwindled down, people, like, we all needed to sleep. Like, we needed it. We were also just so mentally drained from, like, getting through each day. So, it got better.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So production was obviously very involved in your guys' stay and every interaction, trying to create storylines. Were there any moments that you feel like have been misrepresented, or some things that have happened? Like, was there like a fight or an incident, an injury that like you are surprised did not end up in the tape?
Oh, there's so many. I don't even have like the time to like... I'm also, part of this is like the trauma, you just like shove it down. So, but there's so many moments that like completely got cut. Like, there's so many things, like there are even some beautiful moments. Like, we literally had like a kumbaya session where we all were like singing and like doing a karaoke and like just like singing together. there was a talent show where like someone like gave someone else a lap dance, like all these, like there were like some fun, like cast vibey moments. You know what I mean? Like we were in the morning, we'd wake up and like jog around. There was like morning yoga. So like there was a lot that like I didn't see in the show. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of drama as well. Like, there was a lot of like plot holes to the drama that did happen, because I think that they chose to like to focus on specific characters instead of like some of the groups. Like it was like one or two groups that got focused, but like there were like five or six groups in there, right? So like, and all those groups, there was drama like in between the groups, or like drama in the group, like are they gonna sit with us? Like, because again, like we thought that we were gonna play tug of war at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I think that like some of the castmates have said this, like we did play tug of war. It was just a mental tug of war. Mm-hmm. But like we were just, you know, so it's the question is like, do you sit in your line with the people that you have become close to in this game? Or do you sit with the people, like men, like big guys, basically, you know, because like obviously like in tug of war, that's what you need. And so it was like a really difficult dynamic because everyone was expecting tug of war. It was written on the wall, literally, just like in the original game.
Yeah.
That's like that dynamic of like people thinking that their teammates are going to sit with them because like they say that they would, but then like in the last minute they move because they're like, you know what, this is a better line. I'm much more likely to make it through tug of war with these people picking up and like deserting their, like, it was a lot of that happening. People screaming at each other. I think they got a couple clips of that happening in the white room. But there were just so many other things that happened that like definitely didn't make the cut. Definitely didn't make the cut. But overall, I still think they did the best that they could with like so many people. Like, you know, you can do so much.
And they did, like you said, they did focus on individual people. And I would say like some standout characters are obviously like Trey and his mom and that duo. Did you like meet them and speak to them or interact with them at all? And is there any characters that you've seen like go far that you just had no interaction with? Like, I believe like Maya. She's in the top three. Like, did you talk to all of these people, or were there people you just never interacted with?
So when you're stuck in that place for 24 hours, like, I feel like you talk to everyone at least once. Like, I don't think that there's anyone I didn't talk to, like, or maybe someone will correct me, but like, Leanne, I got on quite well with Leanne. I think I'm still in touch with Leanne. Shrey, I think I talked to him once. Mai, I think I talked to her twice. I did not, those are like one of the least people that I've chatted to. But from what I've heard, she's a really strong player. Like, she was super smart with all the choices that she was making. Like, she was like 2 to 3 steps ahead of everyone else. And definitely willing to make some really tough decisions as well. So like, I think like it would have been interesting to hear the things that she would say to other players, knowing how far she got now. But I was like in my own little world during that time. So like, I wasn't like able to even like really observe her.
Yeah. How was it getting ready in the bathrooms? Like, did you have all your, do you have your makeup, your products, like everything you needed?
No, nothing. We had nothing.
They give you like toothbrush, toothpaste, like shampoo, conditioner. That's it.
Shampoo and conditioner were out of these like,
the big pumps kind of?
Yeah, the big pumps, like I guess, like contraptions, containers in the bathroom. I don't even know if we had shampoo and conditioner. I think it was like both in one. It was just really dehydrating, watered down solution. there's nothing else. Nothing, no makeup, no nothing. Just like literally like body wash. They had lotion, again, watered down lotion. And then we got chapstick, like maybe a week and a half in, they started giving us chapstick.
So, I read at some point that they did provide condoms. Is that something that's true? And, oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, that's cute that it has your label on it, too.
Yeah, my number on it, yeah.
Because I saw you made, like, a TikTok about the chapstick. Like, why were people asking about it? Like, what did you...
Basically, because... In the beginning, they didn't give people chapstick. They wanted people to suffer. So like people's lips were literally falling apart because they were so dehydrated. So they gave us condoms because obviously like it's a TV show. They want people to hook up. They want the drama, the sex, all the excitement. So there were endless supplies of condoms. But
did they like anyone hook up?
No.
I don't think so, right?
Not enough for it to be. I mean, it depends on what you call a hookup, I guess. But not enough for it to become like a. And then the people that I do know, like got on well. got cut really quite early on, so I wasn't enough to like. I guess
you
I
didn't have a like a Squid Games romance.
No. I don't like think I don't understand how anyone can have a romance in a place like that. Like you're so deprived of your humanity. Anyways, back to the condoms. Since like there's obviously lube on condoms, people were taking like opening the condom, squirting out the lube and using it as like chapstick because that's how dehydrated their lips were. It was really sad. I snuck in some chapstick, so I never like had to worry about that, but. Yeah. People's lips were literally falling apart.
It sounds terrible. So I want to talk to you about the marble game and the situation of the 065. But just before we get to that, out of all the challenges or like the mini tests and everything, you actually, how far did you get, by the way?
So I was the last person to die, be eliminated of the marbles game. And so if we, I don't know when they started doing numbers, but like, so I'm like top 32 out of 465. But like, so yeah, 32, yeah, my number I think is 32 out of 465.
Yeah. So that probably wasn't the marbles wasn't your favorite challenge. What was like your favorite challenge or test that you did?
To be quite honest, I think that my favorite was Dalgona because I was a little nervous going into it. I didn't like have really any expectations about it, but I felt so calm going into it. I think that like I smashed it. Like I'm just like really proud of myself and for like continue, like and everyone in my group, we all made it through Star. Even though Star is like one of the
things
we would not be, but we like communicated, talked through it together as a team, worked through it, and a lot of us like made it through. Like it was actually Dalgona was probably my favorite actual challenge. Warships was horrifying. I made it through, but my team did not. So like it's like Battleship. So like if your boat gets sunk, then you're eliminated, but the people in your team still make it through. So you can make it through even if your team actually loses, which is really interesting. So yeah, my team lost, unfortunately, which was just like so hard to just see people around you go home and like you got to stay. Red Light, Green Light was I hope no one had to go through that. Red Light, Green Light, I don't even know. People, like, professional athletes, like, weren't getting out. Like, it was Red Light, Green Light, and then obviously I got out in marbles. So I would say that was probably my favorite, Dalgona.
So, and for that, the cookie challenge, I'm not even going to try to butcher that name, but for the cookie challenge, it seemed super tense when everyone figured out, like, how the shapes were being chosen. Oh, like, was God. The room that so was, tense?
Oh my goodness. I will never forget. Oh my God. They went in there and they could not agree and they all got shot. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, you guys, people don't understand. Like, when you're in there, it feels like they're being murdered. Like, you're in the Squid Game universe. Like, it's such an immersive experience. So, like, I will, like, I just will never forget what it felt like to look on that screen and see them all pop, pop, pop. You have not finished the challenge. Like, it was just like, and then again, the same thing happened again. It was like two rounds of people who were unable to like make it. In my opinion, when it comes to Dalgona, I know this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I don't care. We got to pick what line we went into. So it was like, there are four lines, 1 through 4. We decided which one that we would be into. No one told us where to go. No one told us what shape it would be. We selected our lines. That was our choice. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I chose to be in the fourth line, and that happened to be the line of Umbrella, no one told me to be number four. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like at a certain point you have to like take responsibility. And I know that nobody wants Umbrella, but then like at that point, why would they even give us the opportunity to get in line? So it would just be like a free for all. And like the last person, you know, would just get Umbrella. Like, I feel like, they gave us the autonomy to make the choice for which line that we would be in. And I feel like it makes the most sense to like just go in the line that you selected. And I know that when you get in the room, you want to select the one that's the best for you. But like, that's never going to work because, in my opinion, it just was destined to fail for people who didn't want to get Umbrella. And I understand the guy, bless him, I can't remember his name. But the guy who ended up getting Umbrella and then like his, you know, a lot of those people went out. Unfortunately, like I just think that that makes them like the most logical sense in such a tense and like uncomfortable situation. And then people did make it through Umbrella. Hold it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just accept your fate at that point.
Yeah. I mean, but I know it's an unpopular opinion and like, I get it, but I feel like I chose Star. It was like probably like the second least likely, you know, to make success, but like I made it through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now let's go ahead and get to your last challenge, because you had arguably one of the most like controversial exits from the show, because a lot of people have feelings on how you, 399 and 065, interacted. So can you talk a little bit about essentially the marbles test was when two people would go into this room and they essentially need to strategize on how they will play a game with these two marbles to determine a winner, correct? Mm-hmm. That's like essentially it.
Mm-hmm.
So you were partnered with 065. How did that partnership, like, didn't he kind of just like select you, or like how did you guys partner?
Yeah, so what's like not pictures, like I was actually, I mean, you can kind of see like I was at the end of the line, like I was kind of trying to be at the back of the line because I felt like it was marbles, like they were telling us to get in like groups of two. I was like, this is marbles. There was just an elimination the day before with Jack in the Box, and the person who got eliminated had an advantage, and I was like, okay, so what type of game could potentially have an advantage? And then they told us to get in groups of two. It's like, it's marbles. If you don't have a partner, you don't have to go through it, just like the original television show. So I, in the back of my mind, I was like, if you see me in the clip, I'm in the back. Cause I,
yeah,
was
just, I remember.
Yeah. I was like, and then basically Dylan grabbed me. He was like, do you want to be partners? And at that point I just was like, you know what? Like, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. It's better to like have a partner than like take a win. But like my goal was to be in the back and let's hope that no one selected me. Yeah. Obviously that didn't happen. So, but yeah, he just picked me basically. I don't really know why, but he did. And I just like didn't like say no.
Mm-hmm.
I was, and I just, yeah, I think about that a lot sometimes, but yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
So, also, side note, did you rewatch the show before you went into the challenge?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Like, every yeah. day, I was watching everything. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so you watched it, like, before you went and just, like, mentally yeah. prepared for, like, what this
oh,
could be?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So many times. So many times. Yeah. I was studying that show.
So you knew when you're going to Marbles, like, this could be the end. So what was the process? Like, just let's walk through this entire challenge, because this was probably the most screen time you got in the series. And mm-hmm. it's because you and Dylan really couldn't get along on or get on the same page as far as like how you're going to play the game. So what really happened and how did they kind of edit it to rewrite this story?
So I think that they unfortunately edited it to make him look like, they tried to basically make it look like a murder-suicide situation. Like, I obviously they edited it to look like I was a rightful winner, which I was, but in a very more obvious way, and that he basically refused to let me win, and then he would rather we both die than give me the marbles, which I guess if you were to look at it, objectively speaking, that is kind of what happened, but just not in that way. So, and I think that they just cut out a lot just to kind of get to like the meat of it, which is like, you know, the murder suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Walking through what happened, basically I knew that he wanted to play a throwing game. Everyone around me in the dorm was telling me that he wanted to play a throwing game, because like what's not in there, they cut this out in my interview, was like, he was like and played baseball like his whole life. And like, so baseball is like a game of like running and hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just like, those are the two big points of baseball. Like, you're either hitting something with a small ball or you're running. I've never been good at hand-eye coordination. I'm barely good at swimming, as you know. So like, I'm just like not that person.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes to marbles, like there's three categories of games that you can play. So you can play a game of strategy, or NIM essentially, which is basically, I take one, you put all the marbles on the floor, whatever. And then you say, I take one marble or I can take two marbles. The person who has the last marble on the floor wins basically. So like the goal is to make sure that you can like get your last marble in. It's kind of like chess. So it's like, again, a game of strategy. It takes a lot of like math or whatever, like a lot of mental math. There's a lot of couple like mental math strategy games you could play with the marbles. That's my strong suit. I'm really good with math. I'm a strategy consultant. I work in management consulting. So like my strength was math, strategy, mental, anything. Mm-hmm. His strength was throwing. Like, that's like what he was good at. He felt more confident. Since we had alternative strengths, I, as you saw on the show, was like, we have alternative strengths. I led with hoping that we could find a consensus in the middle, which was just playing a game of chance, like rock, paper, scissors, odds and evens, mm-hmm. in the marble and my hand, you pick which hand it's in, like something that gave us both like an equal playing field. That was what I was arguing for the entire time. He refused, he refused every option that I gave. He only wanted to do a throwing game because his rationale was like, he wanted to go down as a competition, like a competitor. He didn't want to leave it up to chance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, if it's a competition, then why not just do a game of strategy? Because that's my competition. And he was like, oh, well, no, that's not fair because there's a surefire way to win. I'm like, yeah, because I know the math. So, and that's unfair to you, which I'm not even spending the time trying to advocate for that. I'm advocating for something that would give us both an equal chance. I could go home, you could go home, but at least like it's not super swayed in anyone's direction. Mm-hmm. His idea of compromising was, instead of throwing with his dominant hand, which is like what he thought, he was like, all right, I don't want to do anything but throwing, but at least what we can do is like we can throw with our non-dominant hand, like levels the playing field.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, first of all, I didn't even believe him when he said he was right-handed, because I was like, I'm not watching this man eat. I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have been left-handed the whole time. So that's why I pushed back on it for so long. Or he could have been ambidextrous. And then we know that baseball players like train with both of their hands as well. So, mm-hmm. So it's like, I pushed back on that for 18 minutes because like I didn't feel like that was an adequate like solution or like compromise, like playing with your left hand. And then again, like I'm just trusting basically that he's not ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, long story short, I was like, you know what, Aurora, like you should at least give yourself, even if it's like a 10% hand, like give yourself a 10% chance to get out. So I succeeded and I followed the rules of the game. I threw with my left hand. I got one in, and he never threw with his left hand. Like, I don't know why. I thought about this a lot. And like, sometimes like I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like sometimes you forget in the heat of the moment, like there's so much adrenaline. There's so much on the line. Like maybe you just like forget. I mean, that didn't keep me from following the rules. I'm just trying to like rationalize in my mind to humanize him and try to understand why he would fight for something for 18 minutes and then like not do it. But yeah, he didn't throw with his left hand. He threw with his right hand. And then he got one in. And I was focused on the ball. I wasn't focused on his hand. So yeah. I didn't see him break the rules until I saw on the television like last week. And so he got one in. I got one in. And so technically we tied. And so we had to decide, all right, what's going to happen? So my argument was, okay, well, I'm the first one to get it in. So maybe I should if we had to pick someone, I feel like it should have been me because I was the first one to get it in. He said no, because he tied me. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. Like it's a tie. Like I'm not going to, so we were going to play rock, paper, scissors as a means of like rectifying the tie. But when we went to play rock, paper, scissors, the guard like came out of nowhere and like stopped us. And again, like the guards are super scary. So like you just he just like put his hand up. I was like, okay. And basically production came out and said that we were unable to play rock, paper, scissors because it didn't actually incorporate the marble in the game. So what they told us was like, if we had done like odds and evens, like I put three marbles in my hand and he had to say, is it odd or even, that would have been able to be a way of like rectifying the tie because the marbles are physically in my hand. Like I'm actually using the marble. Mm-hmm. But scissors, you weren't actually using the marbles. It wasn't an adequate way to play the game, basically, which I wish they had just told us that, because we shook on it. Like we shook on playing with our left hand, and we shook on if there's a tie, you play rock, paper, scissors. And like the guard was there, so I don't know why they let us shake on something that was against the rules. And then when we went to do it, I don't know, but we ran out of time. Then we both unfortunately were eliminated.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
So can you describe a little bit of the technology and the feeling of when you're eliminated? Because some people, like, one of the questions I had was like, does it hurt? So like, what is that technology and how does it work?
You have like a squid pack on you. It's like, I wish I could describe it. Like it's like this thing of ink on your chest that just, it's basically like if someone had, you know, like when you have like a sore tummy and you have like those hot water tub on you, just imagine that full of ink and then like strapped with like tape to your chest. That's like, it's called like a squib.
Yeah.
And so when you die, it just like gets burst and then it just like bursts. It didn't hurt at all.
No. And did you kind of feel like the contraption go like doop, like tick, and then
yeah,
it just like,
yeah, it's like clink clink and it's like, ugh.
Yeah. So a lot of people have had opinions on how you and Dylan have played the game. And this has now, one thing I think is really interesting about this show is how it has bled into social media so strongly. I mean, I think every person, including yourself, you're getting attention from talking about your experience on there. We're seeing so many people sharing their side of the story and what actually happened there and seeing, you know, the show, your episode come out where you were featured heavily. People were really nasty to kind of both of you in different ways. And I think I've seen him make some videos as well. So can you kind of describe like what it's been like now that this has gone out and like you've received some hate, you've received some support. What's kind of going on social media?
Yeah, I've received a lot of hate, which I was not expecting because I don't know, like a lot of the hate I've received has been like racially charged, which like, I mean, like that's just like, it is what it is, you know, that's kind of part of like being a Black person. But the other like non-racist, misogynist hate that I've received, which like, you know, any Black woman would ever receive it, regardless of what she does. It's been unique to my situation is like, I took an opportunity away from him, which like, I don't really understand because like, even he admits that it was a tie. So like, he was never going to make it through like that. So like the idea of like me taking something away from him, he wasn't able to get one in until he even admits to that. So I don't understand why people would come and say that I did that or like I was trying to manipulate him or like I was wasting time. Like I should have just played the game that he wanted to play. Like when every other Marvel team was playing a throwing game, but like what they don't show you is like that only half of the teams played throwing games. Like a lot of the teams played NIM, a lot of the teams played like games of chance. Like, so obviously they showed a couple of throwing games on the show because I think that's just like more like better TV, you know. Yeah. But like I wouldn't say that that was, there were a lot of teams that did not play throwing games. So I guess like as a viewer, you're seeing like a lot of the throwing games and then I'm the only person who's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But again, like that's just, if they had even watched the regular Squid Game, like that wasn't what every team did anyway, you know what I mean? So I think it's been really interesting. I haven't received any like death threats or anything crazy like that, just like really misogynist, really racist, unkind, and just like people coming into my DMs like saying like that I like took an opportunity away from him and that like I, you know, wasted the time or I'm like a gaslighter or I'm a liar or all sorts of stuff. Or like, I think at one point I'm sure you've seen the episode, like I was like explaining what I think we should do. And he like told me to like not to raise my voice at him when I was.
Yeah, like, I did say that.
I'm not comfortable playing a game of throwing.
You don't have to raise your voice. It's fine.
I'm not raising my voice.
It's okay. Listen, I thought you were a competitor.
When I wasn't raising my voice, and then one of his videos, he said I was raising my voice. They just conveniently cut it out. And so someone would come into my like DMs and say like I was like yelling and that I'm a liar. Basically just like backing whatever he's putting out there. And so that's been kind of difficult.
All right. I've had a lot of people ask me what my side of the story is and ask me to post something about it. And I haven't posted for a couple days. My full side for a reason. My side of the story, the other person's side of the story, and then the full truth. That goes with any argument ever. We are going back and forth discussing on trying to agree to certain rules. At this point, we both start raising our voices. And when we both start raising our voices, at one point, the opponent that I'm playing snaps and says something that didn't make the final cut. Now that is when I say, please don't raise your voice to me. In the version that everyone sees, she's talking completely normal when I say that. So there is no context of both of us raising our voices.
I can't speak to like what he's experienced, but that has been a bit difficult for me, because at the end of the day, like, I feel very proud of the way I conducted myself. I feel like I advocated for myself. I feel like I, you know, tried to do the best, like, fair option, and gave him a lot of opportunities to like make a choice. And then in the end, I still seceded. So I don't know how I could still receive hate when I'm the one who seceded to the game he wanted to play. So it's been a really uncomfortable process of like having to re-explain myself online.
Yeah, it's also kind of like an anxiety thing, because like now that everyone is kind of like out there and able to speak, it's like you don't know if 065 is going to make a video that tries to implicate you in some way, and then you just randomly wake up with like a bunch of hate. It's not like you're used to being a reality star or all over social media and having your eye on, like, their eyes on you. So it's definitely, I also hate that premise that you took away, like, that they would say that you took something from him, because you guys are in a bizarre situation. No real life like lessons really apply here. It's like she didn't take anything away from him. And on top of that, the editing, I just feel like it's so, there's so much content, so much footage they must have got, that like there's just, most of the storylines are barely told, you know, it's like a quarter at best of the real story.
A quarter, exactly. And I think that like, personally for me and my experience, the hardest part has been like, he was like so much worse, like in person, like the gaslighting, the way he treated me, the way he spoke to me, like it was like bullying, like in gas, like it was a very uncomfortable experience. Like it was like super triggering to me, like being like a homeschool kid, like going to public school, and like, you know, it was just like all of it was like, I felt like that homeschool kid all over again, going into public school, like in so many ways. And so that's why I left the experience so proud of myself, because I was like, a younger version of me may not have stood, you know, we may not have stood her ground. A younger version of me may have like let him bully me and like let him do whatever he wanted, because, you know, like that worked in the end. But like, I stood up for myself, and I did it in a way that didn't need for me to raise my voice or to be manipulative or to do any of these things that I'm being accused of doing. And I just wish, like, specifically since my exit is obviously one of the most controversial of the show, they would just have kept at least us agreeing to the rules in the clip, because that's like the most important part of the game, I feel like. How can you judge a game if you don't see the two players agree on the game that's being played?
Well, especially when I just see you guys sitting there, like, kind of silently at some points. Like, they could have filled that with the context.
Exactly. They could have filled that with us shaking hands and saying, okay, we're going to play with our left hand, and in case there's a tie, we're going to do it like, I think they just did that again. I think they were more focused on making it look like a murder-suicide. And to be quite honest, I still think it was. Like, there was no way come to terms with the fact that with this loan, like, I was never going to get out of there. Mm-hmm. Even if I had 3 marbles in and he had 1 marble, he would have found a reason to like discount me. When we got back to the hotel, he was telling people that I moved my arm too much when I was throwing or something, or like I moved my leg, or, you know, just like finding ways to just try to like discount my marble, like getting in. So like, and that's before all this happened. So like, he, in his mind, like he was never going to let me through. Like that line that he's like, I'm not just going to let you win. Like that is true, because like, I was never like, I've kind of just come to terms with like the moment that he became my marbles partner, my like fate was sealed. Like it literally would not have mattered, because he would have never given me his marbles, and there's no way I would have been able to like physically overpower him and like take the marbles from him. Like, so it was just like, I've kind of come to terms with that. That was the time for me to leave the game. It's like an unfortunate time, obviously, because I feel like my opportunity was robbed from me, but like, I just trust like better things are in store. Like, and there's a reason for everything in this life, but, I hope he, like I've said this on my TikTok, I hope he learned something from this experience. I don't think, like, from what I've seen, like, I don't think he's really learned anything at all. Like, he's just peddling a lot of like really disgusting stuff online. And before I even shared my side of the story, I was very clear, like, I'm not coming from a place of hate. I'm not advocating for hate. And he's done like the complete opposite. And that's been really difficult because I feel like if we had just both come at it from a place of like maturity and just like trying to share our piece, it would have been a very different space. But the way that he navigated this whole social media thing was really, really scary and damaging.
Yeah, it puts a bad taste in my mouth. Like, seeing how he talks about you, and he's definitely like instigating a lot of like this random hate going to you. And I don't like it. I don't like his victim mentality.
Yeah, and he wants, I think, like, which is an uncomfortable like realization. You know, like, I know he's getting a lot of hate, but I think like misery loves company. And I think that like he wants me to like, he wanted me to have a piece of it. He wanted me to like feel a piece of what he was feeling. And so that's like what was in the mechanism behind the choices that he was making and like how he talked about me online. Whereas I was literally doing the complete opposite with like how I talked about the situation. I even gave him the benefit of the doubt about him throwing up his wrong arm. I was like, maybe like, you know, we just like go to things that we know. Like, I don't even think about the arms I use when I do things sometimes. You know, like, I even in that video said, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I did my best to humanize him. I wasn't unfortunately given that same, I wasn't given that treatment at all. But again, like, if anything, like the DMs I've received, it's like, if I didn't believe you before he started talking on social media, I believe now, because it's like, he's just showing his character time and time again. And that's been really validating because, like, you know, you can only share so much. And then at a certain point, you just have to wait and see, like, how people act and, like, hope that people will see other people's, like, true colors and their character.
Yeah. And I think you've been navigating it. Like, you know, I've been doing social media for a couple years now, and I've had, like, my moments online. And it's difficult, but you're holding up and you're doing well. And I think you're navigating in a mature way, which doesn't throw people off, because nobody wants to be like nasty online. And the fact that he like is leading with that, people are gonna see right through it. And it's gonna like, no, I don't necessarily believe in karma, but like, you know, what you put out there, like you said, it's gonna come back to him. And that's why there's all this misery surrounding him on social media.
And again, like, I truly, like, I wanted to be clear, like, I hope he gets the help he needs. I hope that he truly does learn from this experience.
Get the help he needs.
Like, whatever he needs, like, I don't know. That's not my ministry, but like, I do really hope that whatever he has missing in his life that makes him treat people with such ugliness, like, that gets healed. Because at the end of the day, like, people are people. Like, hurt people hurt people. Like, that's what you have to always human. You have to always human. Like, at the end of the day, he's a human being just like I am. We operate differently. We choose to treat other people differently, but like, who knows? Maybe he has some like crazy trauma. I don't know. Like, I don't know the man. I don't know why he makes the choices that he makes. All I know is like how I'm going to operate, because I don't want any of that negativity to ever come back to me. And I'm just going to always choose to treat people with love and respect. No matter what.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And so that's, and I hope that he truly does get whatever is going on, whatever he's experienced in his life. I hope that he does get the help that he needs, and that he can like grow from this and like be a better, or be a man, you know, and just grow.
No longer a boy. So obviously this was a crazy experience. You're going to have so many memories from this moment, and I am super proud of you and your performance on there. I don't think I could have done that well, to be honest. So
you never know. You'd be surprised yourself.
I mean, I don't, even standing still, girl, like the first challenge, I would be out from there. I'd be like, one, too cold, and two, ADHD. I just like, I need to get out of there. But granted, $4
million. $4 million is a lot. $4.56 million is a lot of money.
Yeah. So you guys, I wonder how much comes out in taxes actually at the end of that. You
it's
know?
Like, it's like $2 million in the end. Yeah.
Well, still, it's like so much money.
It's so much. Yeah. It's a crazy amount.
You guys weren't paid for your time on there. Were you at least able to keep the tracksuit?
No, that is my biggest gripe. Give me my suit. That is my biggest gripe with Netflix right now. Besides the fact that they cut us like agreeing to the rules on my Marvel team, is the fact that they won't give us our tracksuits. Like, we earned those tracksuits with like our blood, sweat, and tears. Like, give us the tracksuits. And then when they like invite us, some of us for press events, like sometimes they had to put tracksuits on. I was like, can I keep this? And they always take it back.
Yeah. Oh no. I wonder why.
I don't know. I what do they need them for? Like,
yeah.
What are they, season two? Like, I'm sure that you guys have other ones made. Like, I don't, they refuse. Like, it's just this, like, everyone is asking.
Yeah. I wonder if there will be a season two. Do you think there will be?
I think that there will be, depending on, like, how this is received, like, in the end. Like, I think there will be, especially, like, now that people have seen season one and, like, they're, all the mistakes that we made, people are going to, there's going to be so much more drama in season two, I'm sure. Like, it'll be really interesting.
Do you know who the top three is right now? I know you haven't really been keeping up with it.
Yeah, still Sam and Mai.
And so, do you have any opinion on who you think could win?
All of them have a chance. Like, they're both, all of them are so smart, like, and so, like, intuitive, and, like, I'm rooting for Phil because Phil is, like, my actual friend.
Yeah.
And we were friends inside, like, we get on outside. Yeah, like, Phil was my friend, is my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm rooting for them. Sam, he is, like, also super cool. I mean, he's kind of like a wild card. Like, I would not be surprised if he won either. Like, it really is anybody's game. Obviously, Mai has, like, made some really, really, like, cutthroat choices towards the end, you know? Yeah. So, like, all eyes are on her and, like, what she's going to do next. And I think that, like, she's just shown herself to be a true competitor, and that's, like, really impressive. But it really is anybody's game.
Yeah, I agree. So one last question. My team pulled out a question about a lawsuit. Can you kind of explain, like, what is the talks about, like, a lawsuit happening?
So the lawsuit is from people from Red Light, Green Light. So it's people who never made it into the dorm. Unfortunately, they were eliminated in Red Light, Green Light. And so the thing about Red Light, Green Light was it was tough. Like, I mean, there are some people who physically were unable to make it through. At one multiple points that people were calling for medic. Apparently there was, I didn't see this with my own eyes, as hearsay, but two or three contestants or players, I should say, had seizures, like their bodies physically convulsing on the ground, passed out from the cold. So there were some serious medical emergencies arising from the Red Light, Green Light extravaganza. So those players are the ones that I think are behind this lawsuit. It's not like people who like made it into the dorm. And I'm not a lawyer, but I do think that they have a small claim, only because like the paperwork that we signed beforehand did not tell us that we'd be holding our stances for like 20 to 30 minutes at a time without a break. So they weren't able to like make a calculated judgment beforehand, like for their own health on whether or not, like, this is like, it's what, so they didn't give, I guess like, there's the argument can be made that we didn't have like sufficient understanding of what we would be putting on the line in order to like opt in. They weren't able to make an educated choice about moving forward, but that's not my job. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, and you're like, I didn't see it because I was not moving and giving up my chance.
I wasn't moving anyway, exactly.
You're like, I don't care if there's someone behind me screaming for bloody mercy.
No, I care. Yeah. That was tough, but like, I'm just really lucky. No one around me like started convulsing. Like, that
I wouldn't know what to do.
Feeling like, because then it's just like, do nothing. Like, I'm so lucky I didn't have to make that choice. Like, I'm sure there are a couple people who did help out their fellow players and got out.
Yeah. And when they were out, did they just lay on the ground and then get up and leave the room, or they had to lay there for hours?
Like, no, they got, so like after people started like passing out and like convulsing, then then Netflix was like, oh, okay, maybe we should give them a break. So then like we got breaks for like 5 minutes at a time.
Really? That's funny.
So during the 5 minutes, I think that's when people started to like get up and leave. Some people just got left after their elimination. They were just so pissed. They were just like,
Like
screaming, cursing, you know. I mean, I understand that you fly from all over who knows where to London to get out of Red Light, Green Light. Like, that sucks, you know?
Yeah, I would be upset too. But you should be proud of your time on there, and great job. I love what you're doing on social media, the TikTok, defending yourself, the drama. I'm eating it up. This is giving me like old school reality TV drama.
I think the drama on TikTok is almost like carrying this stupid show. Like, I
really, it is.
I need to be ran a check for the work that I'm carrying the marbles game on my back with like all the receipts I have on TikTok and the way that this man is talking about me. But again, we just have to give him our hope, our thoughts and prayers, and hope he gets the
hope. Thoughts and prayers to 065.
Exactly. Thoughts and prayers indeed.
But you guys should definitely go and check out Aurora on TikTok and on Instagram. I will link everything below. Go and listen to more about her journey and see what is next. I'm excited. I know you do a lot of travel things and content. So definitely go and check her out. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, dude. Are you kidding? Like, what an honor.
I just, like, when I, this came in, as soon as I saw you on the TV, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to interview her. And I was like, I know her. Like, this is great. This is perfect. So I want more friends like you. Like, stir up the drama and come on here and give me the tea.
Happy to be of service at any point.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Go and support Aurora, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye,
bye
guys.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.